The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dr. Gary Small about his new book entitled The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. In the news this week is a piece on strength training, and I'm kind of focused on exercise right now, so it's in keeping with preparing for New Year's resolutions. What are the benefits of strength training? Well, very quickly, it improves our ability to do everyday activities, improves balance, stability, and coordination, builds muscle strength, decreases risk of osteoporosis. That's a big one for menopausal women. Reduces blood pressure, increases caloric burn, reduces low back pain, another biggie. I don't hear anything bad about strength training, so I'm going to ask all of you to join me in my New Year's resolution to get some weightlifting and strength training built into my health regimen. And good luck to you. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Gary Small is a professor of psychiatry and aging and the director of the UCLA Longevity Center at UCLA. Dr. Small has developed brain scan methods that detect the first signs of Alzheimer's disease years before patients show symptoms. How exciting. Scientific American magazine named him one of the world's top 50 innovators in science and technology, and he frequently appears on the Today Show, on CNN, PBS, and the Dr. Oz Show. He's authored 6 books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Memory Bible. We're going to talk tonight about his most recent book called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, available in hard copy and soon to be released in January in paperback. Welcome, Dr. Small, to Your Holistic Health.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, what is Alzheimer's disease and how does it differ from, say, a simple dementia?
Alzheimer's disease is essentially a buildup of abnormal proteins in the brain in areas that control thinking and memory, really all the mental functions that define who we are as human beings. Now, when that buildup gets to be high enough, then people experience dementia. And many doctors define dementia as an impairment in memory and at least one other mental faculty, like visual spatial skills, say reading a map or language, and that impairment has to be so great that people need help from others. So it's really a very gradual process where Alzheimer's disease attacks the brain and creates this problem of dementia, which is devastating. It affects over 5 million people in the U.S., probably about 36 million worldwide.
Well, I think there's a tremendous fear. I don't know if it's just an increased awareness, or certainly as one of the front runners in diagnostics, you would be an excellent source to ask, you know, do you feel that we're diagnosing more, even with, you know, the techniques that we have today? What is this? Is it something we're doing to our bodies or all of the above?
Well, I think you're pointing out several issues. One of the biggest ones is that we're living longer, And age is the greatest single risk factor for developing Alzheimer's or dementia. By age 65 or older, the risk is about 10%, but by 85 or older, it can be as high as 40 or 50%. So that's part of the issue. We're living longer, but not necessarily better. Other issues are, yes, we are diagnosing it more effectively, in part some of the new brain scanning technologies, better medical approaches, greater awareness. I think a number of these things have come together to probably heighten our awareness. And finally, we do have some symptomatic treatments. So there are some medicines that help with the symptoms temporarily. So that motivates doctors to make a diagnosis. But we have no cure or any drug that really halts the disease in its course. Now, we're trying to develop that. We're trying to do the science to discover these new drugs. But while we're waiting for science to catch up, we have lifestyle choices we make every day. And that's really the reason that we wrote the book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program, to update everyone on the new science and provide some practical strategies so we can do something right now and not sit back.
All right, let's talk about some of those preventative measures and what you've detailed in your book. Give us a couple examples, please.
Well, the first thing we should all be doing is exercising every day. The scientific evidence is probably the strongest that if you just walk briskly for 10 minutes a day, you're going to lower your risk for Alzheimer's. If you can't walk, swim. If you can't swim, just move your arms around. Do whatever you can to get your heart to pump oxygen and nutrients to your brain cells. You'll have a bigger brain, and a bigger brain is a better brain.
Well, the brain lives on two types of fuel, sugar and oxygen. So what do you have to say about those two nutrients, if you will? Should we be watching that?
Well, I think, you know, it is true. Sugar or glucose is the brain's main energy source in non-starvation states. But it doesn't mean that we should be dumping refined sugar in our water to feed our brain, because what happens is different nutrients are converted to sugar to feed the brain. And in fact, it leads to another important Alzheimer prevention strategy, and that is a healthy brain diet, which consists of carbohydrates that are healthy, so antioxidant fruits and vegetables rather than refined sugars. Omega-3 fats from fish and nuts, whole grains, and a balanced diet. And one of the most important things about Alzheimer's prevention nutrition is portion control and weight management. We have an epidemic of overweight and obesity that is worldwide. And what happens when we're overweight is that our bodies are at risk for diabetes, for high blood pressure, for hypercholesterolemia, and all these other age-related and obesity-related illnesses that, in a sense, attack the brain.
I wonder how you feel about sleep and sleep hygiene, or the lack of refreshing REM sleep, which seems to be more and more prevalent in at least my patients over the last few years. And the ability of the brain to heal or not from the day's activities. What would you say about that?
Sleep is critical. It's another important strategy to kind of reset the brain so it's ready the next day to deal with what it confronts. And most people are in a sleep-deprived state. We're not getting enough sleep. We're either suffering from insomnia or not really allowing enough time to sleep, and that is not good for your body. It's not good for your brain. In fact, you know, getting a good night's sleep, eating omega-3 fats, physical exercise, these are all anti-inflammatory strategies. And one thing I emphasize in the book is the role of inflammation in the brain contributing to Alzheimer's disease. Now, we think of generally inflammation is a good thing. It's a physiological process that protects our body. If you sprain your ankle or if you get an infection, You know, your ankle may get red and sore and hot, and that's our inflammatory cells repairing the injured tissue. Problem is, as we age, and if we're overweight, and if we're not getting enough sleep, and we're not getting enough omega-3 fats, we have higher levels of inflammation in the body than we need. And those inflammatory cells attack healthy tissue. So if you look in an Alzheimer's brain, you see evidence of inflammation. So I'm a big fan of getting a good night's sleep because it's good for the brain, it's good for the body.
And are you talking about 8 hours a night, Dr. Small, or just exactly how much sleep?
That depends on how old you are. If you're younger, yeah, 8 or even 9 hours is what you need. But as we get older, we don't need as much sleep. In fact, we tend to sleep lighter. And so I think you have to kind of ask yourself, how do you feel? Do you feel refreshed the next day? And there's certainly individual variation in the needs for sleep.
Mm-hmm. My barometer, right or wrong, is if I can dream and I remember at least part of that dream when I awaken and I take that very deep cleansing breath, first of the morning breath, then I feel that, you know, I've done at least some good in that sleep cycle.
Well, I think, you know, it's very important to dream, you know, to have your REM sleep. One of the problems that many people have is with their insomnia, they start taking benzodiazepines or sleeping pills or anti-anxiety pills to help them sleep. They become dependent on it, so they can't sleep without them. And those pills will suppress REM sleep, so they suppress your dream state. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you stop taking the pills, there's what they call rebound REM, and people have very vivid and sometimes disturbing dreams as a result of that. And I'm a big fan of trying to help people to sleep without medications, to learn proper sleep hygiene techniques and using other approaches.
I love that. All right, let's turn to the supplement category now and talk a little bit about some of the dietary supplements. We alluded to the prescriptions, Aricept and so on, Namenda, but let's talk about N-acetyl L-carnitine, phosphatidyl serine, big names here, but very popular for brain, health, or let's just say they're touted for brain health. That's where I'm going to question.
Actually, if you can pronounce these things, you probably don't need them.
You win. I guess.
So actually, phosphatidyl serine, a lot of people call it PS because it's easier to say. And there have been some studies that have found it to help with memory, at least over short term, say 3 months or so. One of the challenges with supplements is that to get a supplement approved, the company doesn't need what we call a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. So for a medication to be approved, you have to test it against an inactive placebo. So we know it really works because placebo does have a temporary effect. With supplements, you don't need that. Now, that is changing. Some companies are beginning to test these compounds, and some of them do seem to have at least temporary effects and may be beneficial. But I think it's daunting for consumers because there are so many of them. It's hard to tell whether these things really work or not. And also, there's variability. The quality control is not as great as it is, say, with prescription medications. So in the Alzheimer's prevention program, I do have a whole section on different supplements and try to update people on the latest research and what makes sense for them.
I love it. We're going to take a short break. And after we come back, Dr. Small, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about some of the sort of non-medicinal approaches to Alzheimer's prevention that you tout in your book.
Fantastic.
If you're listening to us for the first time, this is Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum. We're talking with Dr. Gary Small about his new book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Gary Small about a fascinating book called The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. So, Dr. Small, I must confess something to you. I really, really love Scrabble. And just when I thought that was enough, my youngest son introduced me to a phone game called Scramble. It's an application. And now I'm all stressed out again. So I don't think we're getting anywhere fast. What do you think about these memory games?
Well, you know, I think it's funny because I like to play these games too, and I have words with friends, and sometimes it becomes stressful because you want to keep up with all the games. And I always say, train but don't strain your brain. So try to find a level of stimulation that is fun and engaging, and enjoy it. Now, the scientific evidence suggests that if you stimulate your mind, it protects your brain. We've studied older people searching online on the internet, and we find that just after a little bit of practice, it causes tremendous increases in neural activity in the different circuits, especially in the front part of the brain, the thinking brain. Now, that's all and good, but it doesn't actually prove that it's going to prevent Alzheimer's disease. We recommend it because we think there's some circumstantial evidence for it, and we're studying it some more. However, we do have pretty good scientific evidence that with memory techniques, you can improve your memory relatively quickly, and you can have sustained benefits for many years. So the book actually includes a 7-day jumpstart program where people can start seeing results, start building their memory skills. And the idea is, with Alzheimer's prevention, we want to live a healthy lifestyle, physical exercise, nutrition, and so forth, but we also want to compensate for the age-related memory declines, and we can do that through memory training.
I seem to remember that it's the temporal lobes that store memory, one side words and the other pictures, and in so doing, by joining both in perhaps the remembrance of a name, if we make a picture out of that name or that person, people complain about forgetfulness with names constantly. Making a picture out of that name or list of tasks sometimes helps with memory, just the simple memory loss of aging. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and in fact, our basic memory technique, Look, Snap, Connect, is built on that principle. So look is a reminder to focus attention. The biggest reason people don't remember is they're simply not paying attention. Snap is a reminder to create a mental snapshot. That takes advantage of the brain's natural ability to remember visual information. And then connect is a way of linking up those mental snapshots to give the information meaning. If it's meaningful, it will be memorable.
There's an actress, I think her name is Mary Lou Henner. She used to be on the movie, or I'm sorry, on the sitcom Taxi.
Yes.
She has, like only 12 other people in the world, perfect memory. I don't know if that's a blessing or a curse, to be honest with you, but I've seen her on numerous talk shows, and it's unbelievable. What would you say about individuals like Mary Lou?
Well, yeah, there's a bell-shaped curve when it comes to memory, and she's at one end of that curve, and she has extraordinary, what they call biographical memory. Now, she doesn't seem to be an unhappy person. She seems to be relatively pleasant. And I think for her, it may be a blessing because she remembers a lot of details and uses that to her advantage and tends to have an upbeat, positive personality. But for some people, it can be negative. particularly when people are very obsessive and ruminate about negative experiences.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about stress for a moment, because it permeates our environment, and I believe it's, I guess we're going to have to harness this issue at some point much better than we do now, for many reasons, not the least of which is our health. But would we be well to manage that stress just from a memory salvage or Alzheimer's prevention perspective?
Stress is the enemy of memory. When we're stressed out, we're distracted. We can't focus our attention. Studies of small animals have found that chronic stress is associated with a smaller memory center in the temporal lobe. And if you give human volunteers, if you inject them with the stress hormone cortisol, they have temporary memory impairment. So there are a lot of reasons to deal with stress more effectively. We cannot eliminate it, but we can ask others for help. We can use humor to distance ourselves from it, and we can learn and practice stress management exercises, from breathing exercises to meditation to Tai Chi, or even just regular aerobic conditioning can be very effective ways to diminish the effects of stress in our lives.
And I think the take-home message there is there's a variety of ways that one can de-stress. You don't have to become a yoga master or, climb the Tibetan mountains and talk to the Dalai Lama. You really can do these things in your own home,
yes,
in your quiet place, very easily, unobtrusively, and purposefully. I guess the most important thing of which is to be regular about, acknowledging and releasing what would be called, negative stress. Not all stress is bad, of course, but that we be purposeful about it. Do you agree?
I agree, and I think that people need to try different approaches and find out what works for them. For example, we found that a lot of Westerners don't like to meditate. They get sort of fidgety. It makes them anxious. And especially true in some of the older people we've worked with, but they prefer something like Tai Chi, where there's a physical movement involved, and it's a meditative type of exercise. So I think it's important to find out what works for you.
I like chess.
That works for a lot of people.
That's also stressful again. I don't know. I keep choosing these high stress, de-stressing techniques. Maybe
well,
there's something to that.
You got to find the balance. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's really moderation.
Yes. I have another confession for our listeners and for you, Dr. Small.
Yes.
My mother is suffering from Alzheimer's, and I have a very personal investment in your story tonight in your book. And my heart goes out to caregivers in this country who are dealing with loved ones with this horrible disease. And I want to speak to that, if you would permit me, for just a moment and give a word of hope and encouragement. Communication, meaningful communication, can come in many different forms. And it will change, of course, with our loved ones as this disease progresses. But there are ways, very simple ways, to speak love, to demonstrate love, because love continues on. And what I have found is that Mother and I have our time. Our family has chosen to just read devotions together and just speak words of love and encouragement. And because her reactions vary, we have learned to be very, very intentional on watching any kind of facial expression, nod, smile, the slightest change in how she responds, and visibly responds, I will say. And I believe, of course, that God is in that place with us, touching her heart when our words perhaps fail. So I just want to encourage, it's a steady road, a tough road out there, but listeners, caregivers, you are not alone. And I want to speak those words of encouragement to you from my heart to yours. So an ounce of prevention is still worth that pound of cure. What's your take-home message from your book tonight, Dr. Small, for our listeners?
I think that people have much more control than they realize when it comes to brain health and Alzheimer's prevention. In our Alzheimer's prevention program book, we actually calculate out the possibility of what could happen if everybody would work on these different strategies. And it's possible to delay the onset of symptoms by 4 or more years. Now, for many people, that might mean never getting symptoms in their lifetime. So while we're waiting for science to catch up, living a brain-healthy lifestyle is about the closest thing we have to a cure right now.
What's the most exciting research that's on the horizon with this topic, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's what's exciting is if we can get people to start changing their lifestyle. They change their habits, they're going to change their brain. I think getting the word out and educating people and empowering them is tremendously exciting. I think at the same time, that we have tremendous hope for scientific discovery. I know at our institute at UCLA, we have some fantastic basic scientists who are working with new genetic models, working at new drug discovery. And I think using those new medications in people who are at risk, trying to protect a healthy brain rather than trying to repair the brain once damage sets in, is the way to go and the way we're going.
Mm-hmm. I think we're looking for new chemicals as well. I don't know if it's the tangles that we're supposed to be looking at or not. I seem to have read something in the Wall Street a few weeks back about that particular type of research. I'm really excited about it. I think we're on to something.
Yes, there are different problems in the brain. There's the plaques in the brain and the tangles. I think we've probably focused too much on the plaque, and now we're getting to the tangle. But I think going after inflammation and having a broad research portfolio is probably the way to go.
Well, we're all out of time, and I just want to personally thank you and offer a word of blessing to you in your research and in your work.
Please
do continue to be encouraged by all of us here, and to you and your family, a joyous holiday, Dr. Small.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to wrap up the show with the quote of the week, and I've chosen scripture tonight from Philippians 4:13. Speaking again, a word of encouragement from St. Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thanks again to our wonderful guest, Dr. Gary Small, for being with us tonight and for sharing with us his book, The Alzheimer's Prevention Program. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com. for a library of health-related articles that have been written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this very same time to hear Sammy Thompson, the music lady, talk about the healing benefits of the harp. On the next edition of Your Holistic Health, you are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.